This podcast has at least 100 laughs in it. Golden Circle produces more than 100 products like yummy fruit juices, sparkling juice and cordial. Pour some sunshine and share it around this summer with Golden Circle. A funny and sunny good day with everyone. Golden Circle. Share sunshine.
Golden Circle. Golden Circle. Ba-dum, boom, 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 boom. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy. Ba-dum, boom, boom,
boom, boom. Yes, it is for your Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to it, everybody. How are we going, guys?
Do I smell different?
No, I think your smell is always just faint hint of Sarah Jessica Parker.
No, I've moved on from Sarah Jessica Parker, so lovely.
What have you moved on to?
I've got a new perfume, but can you smell it? I can't smell it, so I keep putting more on.
No,
but
I can
now
only...
I'm worried that I... Should you be able to smell yourself? I heard a thing once that if you can't smell your perfume, it means it's right for you. Whereas if you can smell it, it means it's
everybody can smell
your body's
it.
Rejecting it.
Oh, do you mean not if you put your wrist to your
like if you just
nose.
Can't smell yourself,
right?
Your new perfume, it's right for you, and I can't smell it, but yet no one said to me you smell good.
Sonda, why are you pointing at me to sniff Carrie? Why don't
you
just
lean
it?
Over and sniff her?
That's weird. Just if he can't smell me from a meter and a half away, then I need to spray some more.
At what age do women start just deciding to put on the whole bottle of perfume?
Well, my mum used to tell me when I was growing up not to spray under your neck because she claims all around her neck, all the skin has gone weird from all the years of spraying perfume. It's like burnt away at it. So she said you should spray it and step into it. That's what she said to me.
Spray and walk away.
Yep.
Famous from Queer
not
Eye
walk
for
away,
a State Guy.
Step in.
Yeah,
if you walk away, you're not getting any.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Anyway, great, great. Well, that's not a bad invention idea, a spray that's perfume and Botox. And so each time you...
What?
So each time
Botox
you're spraying
like
yourself with
her,
each time you're spraying... Well, it's just got a really small amount.
You're wrecking
each time
your
you're
skin,
spraying
but
yourself,
also fixing
you're
it.
You're getting... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're getting tighter.
You're getting tighter. You just get the tightest neck ever. But smell me. Smell me.
Anyway, good to know that my new smell is setting the world on fire.
Yes.
What have we got coming up on the show? Oh, yes, I'm excited about what we've got coming up. Jess and I have been hanging out together looking back at some old pics.
Have ya?
Bit of Lycra.
Yeah.
This will excite you, Tommy.
Oh, pics of me?
Well, it certainly did excite you at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
We saw you very excited in Lycra. We're going to get to the bottom of when and why that photo was taken later in the show.
So, Tommy, with an erection in Lycra coming up later in the show.
Up next, though, new research that may make you look at your partner in a whole different way.
Great.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Well, we discovered a fun little Instagram account earlier today. What's it called, Jesse?
Siblings or Dating.
Siblings or Datings. Because we've been chatting about how...
Datings.
We've been chatting about... So for a long time, researchers have thought that couples grow to look more alike over time. Right?
Oh, is that true? Oh,
well, this is the thing. They wanted to work out if it is true or if it's just a bit of a theory.
I thought people just picked someone that looked like them.
Okay, yes. Well, were you part of the research? Because that's exactly what they found.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so for a long time they thought you morphed into each other. Now, after a whole lot of research, they've discovered what you knew all along. They didn't even need to pay. Stanford Uni did not need to do this research because Tommy Little has known all along that apparently you pick a mate that looks like you.
I did go to Stanford Uni.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Did you go to any uni?
Yes,
oh,
mate.
Sorry.
Dude, I failed drama, thank you very
sorry,
much.
Sorry, that's right, yeah. So apparently, we seek out people that look like us, which I think is weird because I'm thinking about all the couples I know in my life.
Mm.
Actually, some of them do look a bit alike.
Yeah.
I don't look like Chris, do I?
So there's a game up on our Instagram at the moment if you want to play.
No, it's not a problem if I do, but do I look like him?
How are you fine either way?
Of course. I think he looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to look like a man, but do I look like him?
Tread
I think
so carefully.
No, you don't have to tread carefully at all. I'm
let's
genuinely
put it up
interested.
On sibling or dating. Can we DM them?
Can we send them one?
Do them and see what people say?
Because this sibling or dating is so weird because you click on it and it shows you a couple, two people together, and you got to work out whether you think they're siblings or dating. And they all look like siblings, but most of them are dating.
If you want to play, it's on. We've got a little one on our story now. Our Carrie Tommy Show. You can play. Yeah.
Can we send a photo of Chris and you to siblings?
Yes, but now that you've seen those pictures on there, they all look identical. We don't look like that.
Let's
but that'll throw people off. It's like
weird.
A double bluff.
What part of us looks the same?
I'm nervous. That's okay. Why I'm being weird. I think you have very similar, I would say you have very similar colourings.
But that's it. Like, he's got bright blue eyes. I've got green eyes.
See, I thought your eyes were the same colour.
No, he's a real, he, that's my, like, Addie and Evie have his eyes. They don't have my eyes. Our noses are different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Why are you not? You've both got quite large heads.
Do we? I mean, his nickname growing up was head.
Yeah, I know. I just knew that. Yeah. That's why.
No, I feel like we don't look very similar.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. But anyway, in this weird treasure trove of a conversation we had earlier today, our producer Caitlin popped up and said out of nowhere that her friend's parents...
out of nowhere. I told you about a friend who accidentally hooked up with a cousin and then didn't find out until afterwards. And then as I was telling that story, our producer went, yeah.
My friend's parents are cousins.
Yeah, they're cousins. And they tell
they're
everyone.
Married and they're married. Cousins. And we were like, what do you mean? And she said, and we were like, oh, distant cousins. And she said, no, first cousins.
Yeah.
And then we were like, you're not allowed to do that because I didn't think you could marry your first cousin.
I don't think you can.
But
no.
Caitlin's saying they're married and they're happy and they're out there proud. They're not having to hide it and that's totally fine. So I'm very confused. Well, not that I'm going to go out and marry my cousin, but I'm just confused.
When I left the meeting at that point, I thought we were going to take calls on, have you married your cousin?
No, but I thought that was a bit rank.
And so what have you changed it to?
13, 10, 60, who are you married to?
Yes.
And we're call and chat to us about who you're married to. Perhaps and if hoping, you're married to your cousin, call us too.
Oh, yeah. Don't think if you're married to your cousin and you think, oh, now it's not about me. No, still give us a call.
Yeah.
13, 10, 60.
Yeah, just cast the net wide and see what you pick up.
Who are you married to? Cousins, welcome.
Your calls next. It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
That is the latest one from Keith Urban and Pink. It's called One Too Many for your Wednesday afternoon. And on 13, 10, 60, we're asking...
Bickers didn't want to ask, have you married your cousin? Because you thought it was...
I don't know. I thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah.
But the number of calls we have, maybe it's not that weird. And the reason we're talking about this is because our producer, Caitlin, said her friend's parents are cousins and they're married.
Is your end topic, your end stance on this, that it's not weird?
No, I didn't even think you could marry your cousin. But maybe you can.
Can you?
Annalise,
hello.
Are you there? You're a marriage celebrant. Can you marry your cousin?
You can marry your cousin, and it gets worse. You can marry your uncle. You can marry your aunt.
What?
Annalise, yeah. I thought it was illegal.
No, it's not. When I did my training, I was horrified back then that I couldn't marry two women to each other or two men, but I could marry an uncle to his niece or an aunt to his nephew. Like, you can't marry your parents or your kids or your siblings or your grandparents, but anyone else, go for it.
But I thought if you were related by blood, that then it's complicated for...
Yeah. Complicated, but still legal, apparently.
I meant more complicated if you have children and things like that, genetically.
Well, I wouldn't be doing it, and I'm thankfully so far I haven't had to marry anyone who's technically related to each other. But in Australia, sure.
Annalise, I thought then you meant on a personal level you're not going to marry your cousin, but you meant yes, as a celebrant.
My husband might be a bit upset if I did, yeah.
Oh, well, there we go. All right, well, that explains all these calls. We have so many people calling up.
No, but that's because you changed the question.
To who are you married to?
Yes.
But now that I can see on the board, a lot of them are just saying they're married to their cousins.
Oh, are they?
I think
so. Great.
Carly, who are you married to?
Sorry, yeah. Not me, but one of my best mates is married to her adopted brother.
Wow. So what? Hold on. When did they become adopted brother and sister?
When they were kids, they grew up together. And when they were 20, they got married. And, yeah, they've been together 40 years. They're in their late 60s. They have three children together.
Okay, I just need to clarify the when they became adopted. Do you mean like when they were three or four or like 14, 15?
They were adopted. Her brother was adopted when he was 9.
But I mean,
so
genetically, that's less complicated.
But it's quite complicated because you've grown up as brother and sister.
Yeah, it's very complicated because It really is.
I'm just repeating it back to you because I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, no, neither do I.
So, Carly, is there any weirdness about it or is it just so not weird at all?
I find it a little bit weird when she talks about her brother and her husband in the same context.
Yeah.
That's a little bit weird. Now, I've got nothing against it. I just find that very awkward that she refers to her childhood as her brother, but now it's her husband, it's her husband. And I go, yeah.
Like, but then weirdly, yeah, is it romantic that you've grown up?
No. I don't know. I personally haven't done it, so I can't tell you, but
because persons come into your world that you weren't expecting,
I understand what you're doing. You're trying to be accepting of everybody's stuff.
I think you're
in danger of going too far the other way and going, hey, you know what? Marry your cousin and hook up with your brother.
Justine, who are you married to?
Oh, hi. It's not me. It's my parents. My mum remarried in 2005 to her first cousin.
Oh, remarried. So you're not your genetic parent?
No. So I'm not the child of two cousins.
Yes.
My stepdad is... would have been my second cousin.
Wow. Justine, how did you feel about that?
Well, I was still pretty young. I was about 12 at the time. So it was a bit strange that my great aunt then became my nunna, they're Maltese, and also my third cousins, who were his sons, became my stepbrothers. But yeah, because there's nothing against it in the Bible, which is my family's very full-on Christian, because there's nothing against it marrying cousins in the Bible, it was okay.
It's strange to think that you can have like a family Christmas and then you can come back the next year and you're like, oh, you won't believe it, I got married. And the person's like, but there are the same amount of people here.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Wednesday afternoon. And coming up after 4 o'clock, guys, we're going to catch up with Dylan Alcott.
Yes.
Fresh off the win.
Hey, fresh off his win at Roland Garros and seen in the back of a cop car. Photos have gone up.
It's a quick fall from grace.
I know.
Isn't it?
So we're going to get the lowdown on exactly why that happened just after four.
But before we do that, let's get into this.
Make any night in the perfect one with Dr. Oetker Ristorante. Pizzeria taste, surprisingly, from your freezer.
Here's a wheel of joy and fun. You wanna pizza this? This wheel is wheelie yum. You wanna pizza this? There's 10K there for you to win. You wanna pizza this? Time to give the wheel a spin. You wanna pizza this?
This is awesome.
Isn't it?
A lot of us are spending a lot of time at home at the moment and we've found a way to give you the perfect night in thanks to Dr. Oetker Ristorante. We've got this giant pizza wheel and we've sliced it into 50 pieces. Tell everybody, not just me, Tommy, what is on this wheel.
Well, there's going to be a prize behind every piece, but one of those pieces is going to be 10 grand in cold, hard cash. And just for getting through, you don't go away empty-handed. If you don't get the 10 grand, you can get a barbecue pizza oven. You can get a month's supply of Dr. Oetker Ristorante pizzas, delicious pizzas.
So much up for grabs. We've got coffee machines. We've got vouchers for Cotton On, Kmart, cocktail packs. The list goes on and 10 grand cash. So make sure you register now at carrieandtommy.com.au.
Get involved.
Yeah, make any night the perfect one with Dr. Oetker Ristorante. Pizzeria tastes surprisingly from your freezer, available in all good supermarkets.
Coming up next, though, a man has had a run-in with a cougar in the wild. How did it end? I will tell you next.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Man.
This is terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
So a Utah man was out for a bit of a run in the Slate Canyon near Provo. I don't know why I'm telling you Provo.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know Slate where Canyon. Provo is. Slate Canyon. His own when he came back along the path and saw a whole bunch of baby cougars. And he didn't realise that he was seeing cougar cubs.
Oh, no.
And then all of a sudden the cougar mum appeared out of nowhere was like, stay away from my cubs, and proceeded to follow him, like pounce at him, and then literally follow him until he got out of the way, a long way away, for 6 minutes. this cougar follows this man, Kyle, along the walking track while he films the whole thing. Have a listen.
Go away. No. No. Go away. Please go away. Go away. I'm big and scary. You're a good little kitty cat. Go get your babies. I'm not coming back down, I promise. Dude, you're scary.
It's terrifying.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh,
and it's just the Tommy way... show, if you want to have a look.
It pounces,
but then at times it just walks so calmly, not taking its eyes off him the whole time.
It is so, it's so quick. Like, that bit where it ducks away and then you're oh, it's gone. And then it flies up at him.
And we were talking about this and I was like, I was thinking, would you jump up into a tree?
Oh, gosh.
And then, Jess, you were saying that they're great climbers,
They're really good climbers, yeah.
So. That'd be the worst. Imagine only getting one branch up and then the cougar's up there with you.
I know. You got to, do I jump down or do I keep going up?
Oh.
He said he'd watched YouTube's videos previously about what he should do in a situation like that, hoping he would never encounter that situation. And he said the things it said to do, I think, was move slowly, so don't just start running for dear life. And he said to throw something at it. And so he'd thrown things at it, and every time he tried to throw something at it, it leapt forward. And eventually he could throw a rock enough nearby for it to scare a bit. Oh. And then it went, sorry, that scared you. And then,
that ran away. Oh,
yeah, he stayed up there for half an hour to calm down before he could go home.
It reminds me of the runaway from crocodiles, runaway in a zigzag pattern.
That's what Sonda said. Yeah, I didn't think that was a thing. Is that made up? Have you tried that?
No, I haven't tried that. No, no.
So but, you're meant but to on fact, land or swim in, a,
I know.
Swim in a zigzag or run away in a zigzag?
You're meant to poke. You're meant to run away in a zigzag. You're meant to poke sharks in the eye.
Yep.
And if a pit bull latches on, you got to stick a finger up the bum.
Is that right?
Yeah. But I'll get them confused. I guarantee I will get them confused. I'll
pull a
crocodile and I've got a digit right up him going, why won't this croc let go of me?
I don't know about that croc thing. Surely they're so quick they can manoeuvre quickly.
I don't know. So what are you going to be doing if a croc comes at you? Well, I'm zigzagging
climb a tree.
Away.
I'm dead.
Oh, playing
I've got
dead.
No chance.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought on 13 10 60, everyone's got, well, not everyone, I didn't have one, I'm dead, but everyone else has got an escape plan for when they think they may encounter a specific animal. I want to know, what's your escape plan? So this guy had it up his sleeve in case he encountered a cougar. He needed to use it, right?
Yes.
Some people haven't used it yet, but they got their little plan sitting there for when they encounter the croc.
Whenever I go walking, that's why I always walk with a blow-up doll with me. And so then if something comes, I
you just throw
that
first.
That way.
Sure, that's why you carry that thing around.
That is why.
Is that anything to do? Oh, no. Anyway. Yeah.
13 10 60. What's your escape plan? Give us a call.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
For your Wednesday afternoon, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And coming up after four, Tommy, you've been holding on to something from your ex that is, I think it's completely unnecessary, mate.
I've been using it heaps.
So
does she know?
Don't think so.
Oh.
right now, though. We're talking about your escape plans.
Yes, because there's this vision online at the moment. Go to @CarrieTommyShowInsta and you'll see it, of a man in Utah who was out for a run.
Terrifying.
He came across a cougar and it did not leave him alone. For a full 6 minutes, it followed him along a path, pounced at him occasionally.
Yeah.
And he said that he'd watched on YouTube what you do if you encounter a cougar.
Yeah.
And it told him that he was meant to throw something at the cougar and it would run away. So he had that in the back of his head, thinking he'd never need to use it. And he did.
Indeed.
And I want to know, what's your escape plan for when you encounter a certain animal? You're going to zigzag your way away from a crocodile.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to poke sharks in the eyes.
You're going to poke sharks in the eyes and carry a blow-up doll with you when you go for a run. And you're going to hope you don't put your finger in the wrong one.
No, what? I think you mentioned the pit bull then.
The what?
Yeah. The pit bull. You didn't mention the pit bull and putting the finger up the pit bull's bum.
Sorry, and that's another way of getting... I don't know if putting the finger up the pit bull's bum works.
What's your plan with the pit bull then?
Again, I've told you the outcome for me in all of these scenarios is I'm not with you anymore.
Janet, have you got a better plan than Carrie for an escape?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I live on a fair bit of acreage with a dam and a few dogs. And snakes, I come across probably half a dozen a year. I don't kill them.
You don't?
I don't kill them. No, I don't believe in killing them. But my, if you ever encounter a snake, stand still. Do not move, because as soon as you move, it's going to strike. So I've had them, I've had one crawl over. I was sitting in the garden doing some gardening, and I've had one crawl over my knee.
Oh,
I've had another one crawl over my foot. And they go along their way. They're not there to hurt you or anything else.
Janet,
you just got to stand still, and they will just leave you alone.
I think if a snake was crawling over my foot, I think I would chop off my foot and then run away.
But that's the thing, Janet. How obviously it would take you by surprise that it was there. So how do you just not react? Your natural reaction would be for one to jump or to do something like that.
I think probably because I'm so used to seeing them around the property and that I just sort of like it doesn't really come as a surprise to me. It's sort of like every time I go outside in the summer, I expect to encounter a snake. So I'm sort of aware of that. But one thing I did do, I was walking down to the dam one day and I went to, and I always carry a stick with me just to sort of make a little bit of noise, just to sort of, oh, I'm coming, you know, just to keep them away. I don't invite them to come and crawl all over me. And I picked up what I thought was a stick and it was a brown.
Oh!
Upon realising what I had done, I flicked it as far as I could. And I did run that time.
Oh, yeah, I don't blame you, Janet, for not staying still at that occasion and looking the snake in the eyes.
You're my hero, Janet. That is just, wow. Gary, tell us what your escape plan is if an animal attacks.
Yep.
Or don't.
Yep. I thought that was it. I thought you were going quiet, practising your escape plan.
It's just that my name's Gary, not Ernie, but that's close. It's close.
Okay.
Yeah, so look, if you get taken by a croc and it's managed to drag you into deep water, you know, you're pretty much gone. Now, crocs don't like to eat fresh meat. They actually like to stash their meat under in their house in the water, wait for it to rot a bit so it's easier to eat, and then chew you over a few days. So if you can be brave enough to hold your breath and play dead...
For a few days?
For a couple of minutes. For a couple of minutes, it's going to stash you in its house. And it's going to swim away, and that's your escape at that moment.
Oh.
Now, I've met a 12-year-old boy who survived using that strategy in Africa while I was touring Zimbabwe. I don't know how many other people are out there, but it takes a lot of guts to do that because most people panic, and that's when the croc will roll you and drown you.
What about the zigzag method?
I've never heard of the zigzag method, but all I know is I would run zigzag and very fast.
I don't think you've heard of the zigzag method because I think everyone who's tried it
is
hasn't
no longer
made
with
it
us.
To tell the story.
Andrew, what's your escape plan if the animals attack, Andrew?
Hey, guys. It's also about snakes, but a little bit more exotic. We're looking at man-eating snakes here, not the venomous kind. So like an anaconda or boa constrictor.
I remember the documentary with Dolo in it.
Yes, exactly, yes, which is sort of where I got my inspiration.
Okay.
So what are you doing? You're sitting there, you're in the middle of the Amazon and all of a sudden you come face-to-face with an anaconda. Andrew, what are you doing?
Right, so you just gently lie down and play dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you wait, you sort of, if you can, try to wiggle, so make it so that your feet are facing where it's coming from. And we've seen that it's going to eat even dead things, right?
You let it start
eating you. Now, because you're in the middle of the Amazon, you've definitely got a knife somewhere on your person.
Yes.
Just common knowledge, obviously.
It's good.
Once it's like hip level, you snap up and you just stab it right in the brain. Boom.
That's great.
Done.
But Andrew, you know what? It's brilliant.
Absurd.
It's brilliant. But you know what I know I'd do? I'd know it would get up to my waist and then I'd go to grab my knife and I'd be like, oh, no, it's in my pocket.
Harry Bigmore
and Tommy Little.
Yes, it is. And coming up very soon, the time game is back again, guys. $700 up for grabs today.
From a little idea you had all those weeks ago. Try and guess how long 5 seconds was.
Yeah.
And now it's worth $700.
No, it hasn't gone off yet. Today feels like a pretty good day. Mm. It's coming up soon. Last night, though, because I tried to make amends. Do you remember my mozzarella disaster in the kitchen?
You can't cook, mate. Just like your mum. She's passed down her lack of cooking ability.
Don't you dare speak about my mum like that. I've never uttered such words.
Oh, yeah.
Mum, I'm so sorry if you're listening. She's not listening.
She's in the kitchen, like you, trying to make amends for 60 years of cookie.
Now, you're going to have to apologise to my mum as well. We had Jenny on.
Mum yesterday.
Just the mum slayer.
Yeah.
I tried to make up for my horrible cooking the other week, and so I wanted to make an old recipe. And it's easy, this recipe, right? It's just some salmon, and then you put stuff in with it and then bake it. It's really easy, right? I served it up, and so it was veggies and rice with it because we were looking after ourselves. And I served it up, and that was all hot and ready.
How boring is looking after yourself, I might add.
Oh, it's the worst. That's why I only do it one day a week.
Yeah,
okay. I go, thank God Tuesday's gone. I served up the salmon, and it was cold. We got a new oven, and I put it on a setting, and I thought it was cooking, and it wasn't. That was all hot and ready, and then the salmon was cold. So then by the time that was ready.
You had to reheat your veggies, and they were soggy.
Mate, it just sucked. Yeah. Absolutely sucked. But my friend's girlfriend asked me about, she goes, what is this recipe book? And I said, my first girlfriend just gave me a recipe book. And she said, what? And I said, she made me a book of recipes.
That's,
and she's
very
like,
cute.
And you still use it? I'm like, yeah, it's like the only recipes I know.
Which would explain why you can't cook, mate.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got your first girlfriend gave you a recipe book?
Oh, 19 or 20 or something.
What sort of recipes were in there?
Oh, it was just things that she cooked that I said I'd liked. She then wrote them out
really
in a book.
That's like a mixtape, but for your tummy.
It's a mixtape for my tummy. Yes. But then I did think about it because she said, so you make these recipes like still? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, did you make them for other women? I'm like, yes.
And so you get your ex-girlfriend's recipe book out to wine and dine your new one.
Yeah. And he played
this
song?
Very funny.
I realised.
Do they ever ask what you.
No. Do they ever ask, has this come from your ex-girlfriend?
I mean, it would be weird. They would never think that you would still hold on to something from 20 years ago.
It does understand why the meals taste pretty bitter at the best of times. But I didn't even think anything of it. Do you think that's weird?
I mean, maybe it's not. I think it's weird that you only have one recipe book. I think that's what's weirder. Mm. I mean, you've just moved house a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued that the one thing that's kept coming with you all through those houses is this homemade recipe book.
Yeah, I know.
So, yes, I do think it's a bit weird.
But it's because it's my only recipe book.
Yeah, but maybe just go get one of, you know, George Columbaris has a few. Matt Preston's got like 20.
Matt Preston
grab one
does
of them.
Have great ones. Yeah.
In fact, you get them sent in here.
Yes.
We've got Justine Cullen's one there. Why don't you grab that one?
Well, I think you got a name wrong because Justine Cullen's my best mate's girlfriend.
Did you date her as
Does she have a recipe book?
She make your recipe book?
I think we've got Justine Schofield.
Sorry, Justine Schofield. How funny that your friend's wife's name is on the top of my head.
That's why it took me back as well.
I don't know if I met Justine. Oh, no, I haven't. Maybe met her.
131060. Have you got stuff from your ex and used it on the next partner?
Yes.
Used it on. Sounds like that's a very leading question.
Do you still use something in your new
call.
Life that's from your old life?
Yeah, yeah. Great. Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie and Tommy for your Wednesday arvo, not far away from French Open champion Dylan Alcott, but at the moment it's
right,
all falling apart.
It has, absolutely.
Earlier in the show, we talked about, you said that Chris and I look the same. I was like, we certainly don't. And there's all these photos around and I've been picking them up one by one.
And you've realised.
And we look exactly the same.
You look exactly the same. Yeah. Wait, mate. Hey, hang on. Don't.
I'm dating myself.
Hang on. Don't give up faith yet. I've submitted it to Sibling or Dating and they'll put it up and people will vote on it.
This is really being a big day.
But as you said earlier, dating your brother could be romantic.
That's out of context. That's weird. Okay, it's not fair. That was taken out of context.
Yeah, that's what you said, though.
No, I'm not going to. Yeah, it's not what I meant. I was trying to be inclusive.
I know. And now we're asking, have you taken something from your ex and used it on your next partner or current partner? Because my ex made me a recipe book. and I'm still using it so many years
When you were 19,
later.
You got a recipe book from her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're now wining and dining other women yes. using the recipes that she gave you
Not
at 19.
Not just now, for the last 15 years.
I mean, they obviously haven't been working, though. Because over those years.
Jenny. Hey, I'm so sorry. Since Carrie worked out she's dating her brother, she's lashing out. Jenny, what have you got from your ex?
When I was about 15 years old, I had a boyfriend in high school. And his mother was a traditional Italian woman and cooked this beautiful ossobuco with tomato sauce. My mother got the recipe from her, and now I've been with my partner for 10 years, since 19, and I cook him that exact dish, and it's his favourite dish, and he only just found out after 10 years that it's from an ex's nonna.
Does it taste the same, even with the deceit mixed in?
I think it does. Everybody loves it, and he still asked me to cook it for him, even though he found out.
Can you say it one more time, the name of the dish, please, Jen?
Yeah, it's an ossobuco.
Ossobuco.
Yeah, ossobuco, yeah. Nice,
it's so nice when you say it, because I've grew up with that being ossobuco.
And never tasted that good.
Oh, sorry. And we never
situation.
Actually got ossobuco. We got snags and masho.
Oh, Angie, what are you still using that's from an ex?
Well, I actually gave my ex a photo frame with a collage of photos of us, and we had matching ones in our bedrooms. And I've since then made artwork for my new boyfriend and put it in the same frame, and he's still got it on his wall.
Does he know?
No.
he's not listening. Angie, was it an expensive frame? Is that why you did it?
No, I was just poor and I didn't have anything else. That's why I was making him presents. The artwork's actually quite funny. I was in dental school and I plastered like a cast of my rude finger, and it's stuck on the wall and it says, "I give a F word," you know, showing that I care. So I literally gave him my F word.
Good on you, Angie. good luck with it all. Susie, g'day.
Hi.
Susie, what have you got from an ex?
I kept my ex-husband's jumper, who was a really cool University of Hawaii crew jumper.
Yeah.
But my current husband loves it and wears it. And he knows it's my ex-husband's jumper.
Is there an element of kind of like stick it to you? Stick it to the ex? Like your
stick it to you.
No, like to the ex. I mean, like the husband's kind of going, I've got her now. I'll wear this little jumper as long as I like.
I suspect there is a little bit of that in there, yeah.
Did you say it's a University of, like a college Hawaiian jumper? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That'd be so great if someone from that, like, university comes up and goes, "I didn't know you went here." I didn't, but my wife's ex did.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Wednesday afternoon, and $700 up for grabs right now. We play the time game, 13-10-60, if you'd like to play. We're doing
easiest
it all.
Easiest game you'll ever play.
Biggest favourite game.
Yeah. Mm.
It's all thanks to Golden Circle this afternoon. Pour some sunshine and share it around the summer with the Golden Circle.
Oh, summer just around the corner.
Perfect drink to take to a picnic.
Oh, picnic.
Kids will love it. The adults will love it. Yeah.
Get around some Golden Circle.
Some ice blocks in. Mmm, delish.
But right now, guys, let's play.
It's the most popular and exciting and best new game to hit radio since ever.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
And the prize jackpots weekly.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
This week, the jackpot is up to...
$700, as we've just heard.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Hey, you know all those people then in that opener going, "Oh, my God, you make my dreams come true"?
Mm-hmm.
They're not taken from this game, are they?
Uh-huh.
Have we have made anyone's dreams come true on this game?
Yep, we have. One of those people is Morella. G'day, Morella.
Hi, how are you?
Look, we're great. Are you ready to win $700?
I am so ready.
All you have to do is say stop after 5 seconds, and if you get it exactly right, the cash is yours.
Okay.
Let's ready, set, go.
Stop.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Felt a bit long. Felt a bit long to me.
Oh, I reckon it felt pretty good.
Mm. Morella, I think that was on.
Feeling good.
Confident.
5.25.
Oh, good effort though, Morella.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Yep. Not bad.
Come back next week. You can play again.
Danny, you ready to play the time game?
Ready to go.
Great.
Ready, set, go.
Stop.
Ooh. Oh.
A bit under, I reckon.
How did you feel about that, Danny?
No, not too bad.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Jeff?
4.66.
Felt like it. Mm. Sarah, where do you think these people have been going wrong?
Probably not counting right.
Yeah.
Good. Gotta count in your head, Sarah. Gotta count in your head.
You don't actually have to. That is not one of the rules. You don't have to. Are you ready, Sarah?
I am.
Ready, set, go.
Stop.
Ooh.
Oh, Sarah, do you know how to count?
Oh. Sorry, Sarah, she's been lashing out today. That this is not about you, Sarah. But
Sarah, that had to be in the threes. Was that in the threes?
No, that was a four.
Okay.
Very awkward for Big Moore because it was 4.57.
It's actually not bad, Sarah. You're a good
counter. Very close. Good on you, Sarah. G'day, Rob.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Very well.
I feel like you might be the chosen one here, Rob. How is your relationship with time?
Good, I hope.
Yeah, it's a tough question.
It is.
Because he's already shaking her head, so let's get into it.
Ready, set, go.
Stop.
Oh, I think that's pretty good. Rob, how did you feel about that?
Confident.
Yeah, mate, for mine, that was bang on.
I didn't go in with a lot of confidence. Yeah. And, Rob, you've pleasantly surprised me. I think you're definitely within a 0.1 of 5, I reckon.
Jesse.
5.03.
Oh! I mean, is that the closest we're ever going to get?
No,
surely,
mate.
That's the closest we're ever going to get.
You just have to do it exactly 5 seconds. It's quite an easy game.
We've been playing this for 6 weeks and no one's got anywhere near what Rob got.
You know what that means.
What?
$800 next week!
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Right across the country, Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It is not just us here, Bickers, because he's landed back on home turf, although they have locked him up in quarantine for his mandatory...
Not quite the ticker-tape parade he deserved.
That's what happens when you win at Roland Garros. We lock you up for 2 weeks. The great Dylan Alcott, g'day, Dylan!
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Mate, I mean, we're great, but have you got a confusing mix of emotions going on at the moment?
You know what? I think it was a real shock to the system when we got off the plane and then the police grabbed us and they put us straight in the back of a divvy van, which doesn't normally happen when you win Roland Garros. So we got off the plane and obviously we're up in hotel quarantine in Sydney. So a lot of the people that get off the plane go into buses like coaches and you get taken to whichever hotel they choose, but the buses weren't accessible, so we got transferred in the back of the cop car, which isn't something that I was used to. First time actually I've ever been in a cop car.
I mean of course you would have been such a goody two shoes, wouldn't you?
I probably could have got in the cop car carry, but they felt bad for me, so they let me off. So this is
you got away with murder.
Exactly right.
So talk to us about the win and about how it felt afterwards. Did you get a chance to sort of celebrate a bit before you came home, or not even then?
I mean, it was awesome to get the win. The French Open did a really good job of looking after us and making sure the tournament went ahead. It's been a pretty crazy ride. You know, we're so appreciative that we're able to go away, and we feel lucky because I know a lot of parts of Australia, you know, where I'm from in Melbourne, people are in lockdown and things like that. So we were lucky to go, but we've kind of been in hotel quarantine now for 5 weeks because you can't even leave the hotel when you're playing the tennis tournaments. So you're kind of in like a bubble over there as well. So we were lucky that we were able to have a couple of beers downstairs, but they wouldn't let us leave because there was still Rafa and Novak still to play, and we were still in the same hotel as them. So you weren't even allowed to really go out. We had a couple of beers, and then we kind of got on a plane and came home because our original flight, which was a couple of days later, got cancelled, and then our next five flights got cancelled. So this was the only flight we could get on to get back to Australia. So, but hey, we're stoked to be back, and The support from everyone being at home has been incredible.
Well, congrats on yet another Grand Slam, mate. It's amazing. But does that mean if you were going to get the flight that you originally had intended, you would have got to go out and celebrate a bit after those other guys had finished up playing?
Yeah, well, then we would have been out of the bubble, so it would have been our decision to do what we did. So I think it was probably safer that we ended up coming home because we had a couple of days straight after the US Open in Nice, in the south of France, which was beautiful, before we went back into a bubble. And, look, I know it's been pretty gnarly in Australia with the lockdowns, but it was almost a bit scary over there in the sense that everyone's wearing their masks on their elbow and they've got 25,000 cases a day. It was different. Look, I can't explain how different it was. Like Tokyo Airport, because we flew through Tokyo to get home, it was 6:30 on a Thursday, which is normally Sunday, which is normally peak hour. There was three people in the whole airport. Honestly, Karen, I couldn't believe it. Like we were just walking through, there was nobody. Like I didn't see anyone, and it's just such a strange thing to be doing at the moment.
How does a man who wins Grand Slams and obviously is very focused and likes to do stuff sit around for 5 weeks in hotel quarantine? Like, what are you actually doing to kill time?
I mean, besides listening to your show, obviously, it's hard. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, with the tennis, we have things to do. We could go out for an hour a day, play tennis, and come home. But we're 2 days into a home quarantine now, and a hotel quarantine. It's gnarly. Like we've got a little bit of gym equipment and a little bit of move to room around. But up in Sydney where we're doing it, we aren't even allowed to go outside for 2 weeks. So some states give you like a 20-minute fresh air break, but we don't get that.
So you just watch Netflix or?
Pretty much. Just watch movies, do push-ups. It's kind of like I'm doing prison workouts. Just doing push-ups and things like that. Going to try and get as ripped as possible because there's not much else to do.
Make out a lot.
Hey, I was going to say, there's worse things than being in lockdown than a sexologist. So, I'm a very, very lucky man. I'm not complaining too much.
I was going to say you could maybe learn another language, but here I was after knowing you for so long, I didn't realise you were fluent.
So, merci beaucoup. And how do you say drink? Bois? Je bois some champagne. Baby, thank you guys, appreciate it. I listened to that back. Could I sound any more like a bogan? That was shocking, wasn't it?
Do you know what I love? You went so Aussie on champagne, but then went, baby.
Yeah, I know. I have to try and bring it back to my Francaise.
Hey, Rafa was one of the people that helped you try and get to the US Open, wasn't he?
Yeah, so when when we weren't allowed to play, and I've got to thank you guys, everybody that had a chat to me about that because I think that played a huge role in bringing the media attention to get us there. But, I actually got a call off Andy Murray and he called me and said, hey, mate, I've been speaking to Rafa, Roger, Novak and the boys and we put it in the WhatsApp and next minute they were all calling the US Open trying to get us in there, which was pretty cool. And he won 13th Roland Garros French Open title.
Did you get a chance to chat to him?
Yeah, I saw him there, gave him a bit of a fist bump, illegal, and an elbow bump, whatever the hell we're allowed to do these days. And it was, I thought Novak was playing pretty well, but Rafa pumped him, absolutely killed him. And it was such a strange trip. Like, Chantel and I were only one of about 50 people in the stadium when Novak hit the ball at the Lions person. We just happened to be in there. It was just crazy. And then we're at the French Open and, like, normally all the players, we all stay in different hotels, you know what I mean? Like some people might be sponsored or whatever. We were all staying on the same floor in the same hotel.
Wow.
So like, you have Rafa in one door, Novak in the next. It was a different trip, one that we'll probably remember forever.
It's also wild that they're all in a group WhatsApp because you can imagine like if you get beaten
so competitive,
and then you get to back to your hotel
Nadal's
and you open
exited the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was... I was hoping that they added me in. Although I did get some screenshots of the messages, so I do have their phone numbers. So if anybody, no, I'm just kidding. There's no way they're going out. Just kidding.
Hey, Dil, congratulations again, mate.
Guys, love you heaps. Thanks so much for having me on. I can't wait to see you in the flesh.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie and Tommy for your Wednesday afternoon. And guys, because it's Wednesday, we're taking a look back at the archives of your guys' lives. And we do. When was that Wednesday?
Well done, Jess.
Thanks so much.
It is a new segment. It's tricky to get underway sometimes.
Why isn't it called the Archives of Your Guys' Lives?
Because that's a boring name.
Is it?
And the name I came up with, When Was That Wednesday, has a better ring to it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to show you a picture.
Yes.
Something I found in the Archives of Your Lives.
No, of your guys' lives.
And I want to know, when the hell was that?
Oh, this is the best.
If you do want to see the picture, at Carrie Tommy Show on socials.
This.
Take us back. What year?
So the picture you've shown is me in green spandex tights and a tank top jumping off the top turnbuckle of a wrestling rink onto a guy called the Cremator.
That was his name.
The Cremator. And
he's got the weirdest get-up.
That was for a wrestling show where they combine pro wrestlers with comedians and we go to boot camp for a month and we train and learn how to do like WCW style wrestling. And
how long ago in your life?
Six years ago, maybe.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought it was about 20 years ago.
No, mate, this was not that long ago. And then we put on, they put on one show. It was like 1,000 people maybe at the show. And
who did you take on?
So my character's name was called the Tomahawk.
That's a good name.
So I stood on the top of that turnbuckle and I flapped my arms as I went, ga-ga, ga-ga.
Oh my god! And that was intimidating.
And that was my finishing move. And then I jumped.
Is everyone left?
And then I jumped off. Yeah, that turned back to that. They were on the outside of the ring.
They were fighting.
And I took them both out. No, that was how the match like ended. Yes.
So it was quite theatrical as well as a bit of.
This doesn't help if you've never seen like WWF or anything.
I understand that it's acting, but also a little bit of.
Honestly, the training to that was some of the most painful stuff I've done because you have to learn to, you're always falling back and because they wanted to make it sound loud, you have to throw yourself back quite hard onto the mat.
Did you get concussed?
So your head just ends up thumping by the end of it. I would end every training session with like a thumping headache. You haven't seen the movie The Wrestler either,
no,
have you? No, it's just hard if you haven't known. It's really hard in their lives. Because also when they get like, you know how they, no you don't, Jesse.
I keep talking to me, I'm interested.
So it is all orchestrated in terms of they know who's going to win and stuff. But
do they know who's going to win?
Yeah.
So is it like a choreographed performance?
That's exactly right. And so the baddies are called heels. And so often they'll have storylines where the good guy who everyone loves, they'll turn heel. So they'll do something awful and, you know, there's video pieces and stuff. And so the crowd eventually turns on them. And that'll be planned out.
So whose idea was it for you to wear the green spandex tights?
I was given that. I didn't have a choice. No, I was given that. I did come out in, I think, what would be considered a very culturally inappropriate headdress now as well.
Did you?
Yeah, like
feathers?
The Indian kind of.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I think is very interesting about this?
Yes.
I'm seeing the top half of you is very similar to the guy who took his shirt off and stripped in that Instagram post we put out a few weeks ago that everyone thinks isn't you.
Oh.
I think it is you because look at that person there.
Oh, are you saying
you look the same?
I'm looking in better shape than I am now? There?
I mean, I didn't say that out loud, but certainly what I meant.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Carrie and Tommy, for your Wednesday afternoon, and if you missed the life-saving information earlier on in the show, grab the catch up at Carrie
Heard
Tommy
some
Show.
Of that. The, we got in it. The one about the crocodile was fascinating. The play dead if a crocodile's after you.
Yeah, because it likes to put you, stash you away under the water until you get soft and juicy.
Yeah, nice, delicious, rotting meat, those
crocodiles. Wonder how we would act in that situation.
I don't remember stuff.
How we'd react.
I won't remember that. I don't remember what happens when, like, when the emergency on the plane, even though I've been on a plane a lot. As soon as I'd forget.
You've got to go down the bouncy slide.
Yeah.
Which looks fun, actually. I've always thought that would be, you know, I'm not wishing ill upon anyone, no. But if you could have a plane emergency where nobody's hurt and you get to go down the slide, that's a win, I reckon.
No, absolutely right. And
first down as well.
Why would you want to be first?
Because you're off before everyone else.
Oh. Yeah, get someone to test the landing, I reckon.
They're spoken like the captain of the Concordia.
Yeah, imagine being on the Titanic with you.
Captain Schettino.
I am Susan Boyle. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in a boat.
Well, that did happen, didn't it? The Titanic.
Yeah. Well, men pretended to be women, did they?
No. There were people there was a few of the boats that went first, that there was only like three or four people on it because they were in first class cabins. Yeah, they didn't want to sit with the folks in the lower deck.
Paid their money.
Yes, well, you're right. I have paid for the leg room.
Do you think wearing that hat, Husey, would have been in the front or at the back?
Well, we're going to talk fashion on our show. Our show's all about fashion today because he's got a big television appearance tomorrow morning.
Today's show tomorrow morning at 7:45.
The glamour spot. So we need everybody's help around the country to decide between.
Prime time. That is prime
time.
You
don't wear a hat, though, are you?
Well, I'm going to be outside.
Is.
I'm going to be outside. Yes.
Okay.
Don't wear the one you had on yesterday.
No. Skin treatment. Oh. So
what? Yeah,
the chemist one from yesterday or this one, which is a Will and Bear
hat. It depends what you want because Ed's going for comedy for him. If you want to be laughed at, wear the one from yesterday. If you want to look good, wear the one from today.
What do you say? He's just heard laughter.
Yeah,
in one
I
of
did.
Those
I'm thinking about the first one.
Well, there you go, Ed. You've got your way then.
Would you laugh at Shackleton, Carrie? Would you laugh at the great explorers who wore those hats?
He went to.
I love when you start.
He's just not one of them. That's all.
Or more.
I could be though. I would truck my way to Antarctica to the South Pole, isn't it?
South there.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? Didn't he get there and there was already someone there?
Yes.
Yes.
It's one of the tragic stories.
A Norwegian was already there.
Look at this. Who are you? Hello. Oh, disappointing.
Hello.
And then he died on the way back.
Yeah, he died on the way back. The Norwegian bloke made it back.
He died on the way back knowing that he was a loser.
See you later. Well, we need to decide the great hat debate on our show today.
It's huge. Can't wait.
Fashion.
Hughie and Ed doing it next.
Don't be sad that the Carrie and Tommy podcast is over. Just pour some sunshine and share it around with Golden Circle. A funny and sunny good day with everyone. Golden Circle. Share sunshine.